Carol, kind of give me an idea about your service. What theater did you serve in?
Okay, I guess to answer your question, I really did not serve in any one particular theater. I was in the Air Force for 24 years, and my primary duty was a B-52 crew member, and so we stood a lot of alert, and we flew airborne missions where we were carrying nuclear weapons as part of the Cold War. And so that was my primary theater of operations, I would say. I did spend 1 year in Korea as a maintenance officer in 1979.
Okay, so you have been overseas. You did work in some of those areas. What was it like there in Korea? Was that very tense, or was it, what kind of a situation was it like?
Well, the situation was that it was obviously there was no active shooting going on. There were always little skirmishes. And being in the Air Force, why, the North Koreans would always play a few games with the South Korean Air Force. They would launch their airplanes, which was obviously not very far from South Korea, and they would fly up north, and then they would turn south and come down, and the South Koreans would have to respond. And so there were a lot of games like that that went on. I would say those games would probably have four or five times a year, but the South Koreans and the U.S. Air Force would have to launch their planes in response to the threat that the North Koreans may have. And so they would, you know, waste a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of fuel responding to those threats made by the North Koreans.
And I suppose you kind of see that now going on with the North Koreans constantly launching these missiles off and even into South Korean waters.
Yes.
And do you, in those kinds of situations, so people can kind of get a picture of this, I mean, does that put everybody on alert wherever you happen to be there in Korea or in Japan or whatever?
More so in Korea, but yeah, the Japanese were certainly involved. There were a lot of Air Force squadrons that were stationed in Japan, and they would have airplanes on alert, and if there was a threat that was coming at any one particular time, those airplanes would have to be launched. And of course, every time you launch the airplanes, you have a lot of people that are involved in when they come back from a mission that was not hostile in any event, you'd still have to refuel and perform maintenance on the airplanes. And that really requires everybody on the base to be involved in responding.
So you moved a lot of nuclear weapons. Without getting into too many specifics, you know, for lack of national security, what was it like working around military equipment like that? Was it kind of a tense situation as well, too? Give me a feel for what it would be like.
Well, when I was in B-52s, we would pull alert. Every base that had B-52s usually had about 8 B-52s on alert at any one time. And when they were on alert, they would have to be able to go out, respond to a klaxon or a signal, if you will, and they would have to respond, go out and start engines, and depending upon what the message would be, they would maybe just start the engines and then shut down. In some cases, you might start the engines and taxi down the runway and come back, and obviously, I was never involved where we had to take off for a nuclear strike. But there was always tense situations. SAC had what they called a two-man policy. So everywhere you went, there had to be two people around a nuclear weapon so that one person would not be able to sabotage or do any damage to the weapon at any one time. So there were those type of responses that always had to be made, and you just kind of were on alert. The big thing about the tenseness of the situation would be if you were on another part of the base when the klaxon went off, then you had a very short time to get back to the airplane, get the airplane started, disconnect the ground units, and be ready to fly. In those situations, yes, it was very tense.
And I assume distance is a big thing. You couldn't be off base. You couldn't be anything. You had to be very, very close on a continuous basis to the craft that if it had to launch or take off.
Yes, exactly. We were restricted to being on the base, and even then, there were distances involved. Usually those bases were very big, and if you seemed like the alert track was always on the other side of the runway, so to get back to that, your aircraft, you'd probably have to go around the end of the runway, which in the case of a B-52, the runway was usually about 11,000 feet or a little over 2 miles. So you had to be able to respond very quickly. And then, yes. And, of course, the alert tours that I was on, we had, again, 8 crews were on alert at any one time at each of the bases. And so you would be on alert usually for 3 days, and then you would go off. And then there were two tours during the week, obviously, a 3-day tour and a 4-day tour. And depending upon your schedule, you would be on that in the alert shack the entire time during those periods.
And were you loading the weapons on board when this alert was going on, or were they already loaded, or what was happening?
They were already loaded, and then you would have a guard for each airplane, and then, like I said, there was a 2-man concept, so that there would be a kind of a senior guard that would be able to drive up and down with a truck along the line of airplanes, and he was basically the second guy. He would have to watch the individual guards. But the weapons were always on the airplane, loaded and ready to go for each alert aircraft.
Was there ever a point in time where you thought, okay, this is it, this is the moment? Or did you have just confidence in knowing that that the situation could calm down, could actually level itself out?
Well, I age myself a little bit, but I was my first tour of duty when I went to B-52 training. It was right at the start of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and when I came on that base, I was came on onto the training B-52 training base for B-52 training, and they put all the air crew, all the instructors assigned to the B-52s at that base. They put them on alert. And being a student just coming in, obviously I didn't have to do very much. But those crews were very, very afraid of, you know, at any time we could get the signal, because Khrushchev was rattling his saber there was an airplane shot down over Cuba. And, things were very, very tense during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Other than that, I can't think of anything really outstanding that made it look like it would be a nuclear war at any time. There were obviously situations that made it a little tense, but I think the Cuban Missile Crisis was probably the warmest that I ever experienced.
I've asked this of every single veteran, and I'm not going to stop now. When you see someone who is going into the service or wants to get into the service, what do you tell them?
Well, I would encourage them to serve their country. I think it's very rewarding. I think that there are obviously some extremes, really good things about the military. There are some things that are not as pleasant in the military. I think being in the military, especially somebody who is just going to enlist for 3 or 4 years, that's an extreme sacrifice. You're giving up some freedoms that the people that are just continuing to live their life do not experience. But overall, I think it's very rewarding, and I think there certainly is a benefit to the individual and to the country to serve your country. So I like to see people at least consider it and look at the options, and then hopefully they make a wise decision as to whether it would be a good fit for them.
It'd be something to see, wouldn't it? You get in there, you've experienced something entirely different, something you'd never experience again in your life, and you take away so much can be both positive and negative in some respects. So.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for my freedoms, sir. I appreciate that very much. And thank you for all of our freedoms that you fought for and did the work for. And we will talk again soon.
Okay, Jay, thank you very much, and thanks AIOW for recognizing the veterans.